Good morning.
Morning, Wonka.
How are you doing?
All right, a little cold, but okay.
We'll start in another minute. Give some people a chance to arrive. We will begin with a L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud Kudshah Baruch Hu Ishkim Pei Bidkilu Urchimu Udkilu Udkilu Urchimu V'yakta L'shem Yud Hei Bavav Hei V'yehud HaShalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah V'yihinu Amadunai Elohinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadenu Kanenei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadenu Kanenehu. Today we will be studying the third Aliyah of Parashat Vayera. It begins with chapter 6 of Exodus, verse 29, and concludes with chapter 7, verse 7. This is a total of 9 verses, and we know the number 9 connects to Chachmah, to wisdom, or to Yesod, representing creativity, creation, sexuality, or foundation. Verse 29. Vaydaber Adonai Yohewahe Adadu Yo Yohahe Dawanu Heyo El Moshe Lemor Ani Adonai Yohewahe Adanu Yo Yohahe Dawanu Heyo Daber El Paro Melech Mitzrayim Et Kol Asher Ani Dover Elecha Vayomer Moshe Lifnei Adonai Yohewahe Adanu Yo Yohahe Dawanu Heyo Heinani Aral Sifatayim Ve'esh Yishma Eilai Paro Vayomer Adonai Yohewahe Adanu Yo Yohahe da wandu heyo. El Moshe re'e netaticha. Elohim lefaro v'acharon achicha. Yehiye nevi'echa. At medaber et
has joined.
Atzawecha v'acharon achicha. Yedaber el paro v'shilach et b'nei Yisrael me'artzo v'ani akshe et leparo v'hir beiti et ototai v'yet mochnetai v'eretz Mitzrayim v'lo yishma alechem paro v'natati et yadi b'mitzrayim v'hotzeti et tzivotai et ami v'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim b'shpatim gedolim Vayadu Mitzrayim, Ki ani Adonai, Yohewahe Adanuyo, Yohahe Dawanuheyo, Bintoti et Yadi, Al Mitzrayim Behotzeiti, Et Bnei Yisrael. Mitocham v'ya'as Moshe v'acharon ka'asher tziwa Adonai yohe wahe adanu yo yohe dawadu heyo otam ken asu u'moshe ben shimonim Shana Yaharon Ben Shalosh Ushmonim Shana Bidabaram El Paro. That's the completion of the Hebrew reading. We will now study the English. Verse 29, that Hashem spoke to Moses, saying, I am Hashem. Speak to Paro everything that I speak to you. But Moses said before Hashem, behold, I am of closed lips, so how will Paro hearken to me? And this is now the third time we've had Moses bring the same argument to Hashem, each for different reasons. But ultimately, the question has to be asked, was Moses trying to say to Hashem that he didn't really want to do what he was being told to do? Because he already knew the answer was that Aaron would speak for him. And Hashem said to Moses, see, I have made you a lord over Paro, and Aaron your brother will be your prophet. The translation that I'm reading says speaker, because they don't want to really translate it literally. But the word that's used in the Hebrew is has a shoresh of the same as the word for prophet, Navi. And the word for Lord over Pharaoh is Elohim. So Hashem is saying to Moses, I have made you a judge over Paro, and Aaron, your brother, will be your prophet. On a very, very simple level, what this is saying is the judgments for Egypt are coming from Moses, and that Aaron will be the prophet to reveal the judgments. Verse 2, you shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall speak to Pharaoh, that he let the children of Israel out of his land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and I will increase my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. Now, why are they called signs and not plagues? And why is he going to harden Pharaoh's heart? And the Kabbalah explains one explanation for that question is that when one has experienced negativity and chaos, one does not truly have free choice. One is being reactive to the situation. And one is being coerced by the situation. So in order to bring someone back to the level where they have free choice, where they're not being coerced by their situation, the concept of the word hardening is used when it comes to Pharaoh, because the human reaction is to run away from pain. And obviously the plagues and the signs are painful. So to give Pharaoh free choice, his heart has to be hardened to ignore the pain. And that brings him back to the level of free choice, where he will choose what he will choose, free of any coercion. The fourth verse. But Pharaoh will not hearken to you, and I will lay my hand upon the Egyptians, and I will take my legions, my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt with great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am Hashem when I stretch forth my hand over Egypt, and I will take the children of Israel out of their midst. Moses and Aaron did as the Hashem commanded them, so they did. That language does not make sense in the English, because it appears like it's additional words, but in the Hebrew it does. But I'd like to just take a quick look at the Hebrew. If you look at verse 6, it says, Vayas Moshe v'Aharon. Moses and Aaron did that Hashem commanded. The word for command is tzadi vav hey. The word for command, tzadi vav, is idol worship, as we learn from the Zohar. The hey at the end of the word represents moving in the direction of a command. It's not... There was free choice in what Moshe and Aaron did. It wasn't that they were following Hashem's command as in an idol, but they also had the desire to free the people for the redemption. And we learn from this that the redemption requires our redemption today. Our redemption requires our involvement in strengthening our desire for the redemption, in recognizing that the redemption will imply a change in our situation, an aspect of growing out of our comfort zone, and so many other different levels and understandings. In order for Mashiach to come, we have to move in the direction of what the plan of creation represents to us. I cannot emphasize this teaching from this verse sufficiently. It's so important. Because if we sit back and say, oh, the Mashiach's going to come, when God says it's going to come, we are not moving in the direction of manifesting the plan of creation that we are aware of. We are aware of the plan of creation. We look around the world today and we see a lot of chaos, a lot of lack of understanding, a lot of unsurety, insecurity, and being unsure of what is to be done. But we also have been taught that everything that happens in the physical world is the plan of creation. Because each instant the world is recreated, it's created again, each instant. And thus each instant is created perfectly for that situation, for that process of following the plan of creation. We need to live that, not just to intellectually understand it. This is the energy of Vadai, the energy of certainty. It looks bleak. It looks painful. It looks like I don't like it. And if we think that, if we live that, we are really saying, I can control the world. I can run the world better than Hashem can. God forbid. Thus v'shalom. The seventh verse. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron was 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. Why do we need to have this information? What does this teach us? If we look at the Hebrew, Umoshe ben Shmonim, Shana. Moses, the son of 80. Now, 80, gematria is hay. Shana is in the singular. Shana's year. Moses was the son of 80 year. What is 80 years? What is? It's the mouth. The pay is the mouth. Moses is the son of the mouth. I haven't read this, but I'm sure there's a midrash that says that this verse is explaining that this is when Moses' mouth was healed. And Wihaharon ben Shalosh Ushmonim Shana. The same phraseology. Aaron was the son of 3 and 8, 3 and 80, Gimel Pei. I don't know if there's a word Gimel Pei or if the word is Pei Gimel, but there would be a meaning to that. That is why this verse is there. Otherwise, we don't really need to know this. We could calculate this from other information that we've already received in the Torah. That's the end of our English study. Does anybody have any questions? So we will continue our study of Perek Shirah, the last part of chapter 3. Yirakot Shabahade Omrim Tilameha Rewe Nachet Gedudeha Birvivim Timog Begena Simcha Tevarech. A verse from Psalms. The vegetables of the field are saying, you water its furrows abundantly. You settle its ridges. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. It's all talking about water, but it's not something you would really think about. You water its furrows abundantly. You settle its ridges. What's the purpose of ridges? What is the meaning of ridges? You make it soft with showers. What are we talking about is that becoming soft? The earth or the furrow? A furrow is the concept of a furrow is like engraving. You're taking something out. You're moving you're digging a line in the ground. You're making room for the seeds. You're preparing for the growth. The next paragraph, the last paragraph in chapter 3. Bishayim omrim Yehi kivod Adonai Yohewahe Adanu yo Yohahe dawanu heyo Leolam yismach Adonai Yohewahe Adanu yo Yohahe dawanu heyo Bimasav. Again, a verse from Psalm. The grasses are saying, may the glory of God endure forever. May God rejoice in his works. First off, what's the difference between vegetables and grasses? If we look at the word, grass is Dalet Shin Aleph. The doorway to the unity of fire or passion. Translating each letter processes. Vegetables, Yirakot, Yud Resh Kuf. Vegetables have an essence of the active coldness, because the word kar, kuf resh, means cold. The yud at the beginning of the word means action. The action of coldness is the essence of vegetables. Obviously, vegetables are important. They bring various components of vitamins, minerals, etc. into our diet. So I'm not saying vegetables aren't to be eaten. They are. But it is very clear the difference in the words and the importance. We don't consider grass important, but it is. It stops erosion and many other things. Are there any questions?
Anoka, I have a comment.
Go ahead.
You're talking about vegetables. Some vegetables, when they're in the body, they produce heat, and some vegetables, when they're in the body, produce cold, like lower your temperature. And grass is important for a lot of animals that produce products for us to eat. So we get vegetables and grasses in a changed form in our diet. So does that make sense?
But are you saying it's changed by cooking?
Well, changed, yeah, cooking changes the vegetables, and the animals that eat the grass, then that nourishes them, and it actually changes to produce meat products or dairy products for the humans to consume.
Appreciate your comment. Thank you, Brandy.
Okay.
It's a thought that I hadn't, it hadn't occurred to me because I don't really cook a lot. And it's a different way of understanding it. So I appreciate the comment.
Okay. Thank you.
Brandy, is that like the DNA of the plant that changes?
I don't believe the DNA changes, but the form does, the body of it does. When you cook something, it doesn't really change the DNA, which is the cell, the inner essence of the cell, but it does change the form.
But when an animal eats of the vegetables, and does the plant itself change in the DNA once it's consumed into an animal, or does the animal?
The vegetable has DNA, and the animal has DNA. The animal is only using the body of the vegetable. It's using the cells of the vegetable. I'm not an expert in this, so I'm coming from my own perception, but I don't think the cells are changed at their core level, which is the DNA.
Okay.
We do utilize through the digestive process, we change the components of the animal or the components of the vegetable. The vegetable, let's say the vegetable has vitamin D. Well, that's not one of the vitamin B12 as part of its makeup, meaning there's a cell that has that is vitamin B12. And other cells that are the body of the vegetable, the green of the vegetable. I'm just using that as an example. So
which is vitamin K.
Vitamin K. So our vegetable, our body takes the vegetable, breaks it down through the digestive process into the various levels of cells. But really not that deep. It breaks it down into a body, or a form of a body that we call vitamin B12. And then we take that vitamin B12 or that vitamin K, and we utilize it in our body for its nurture and for its energy. So we're never changing the DNA. We're changing the body that houses the DNA. That's my perception. I'm not a scientist. I haven't really studied this, and I may very well be wrong. But it's
vitamin K is essential for us for blood clotting.
Each vitamin that has been identified is essential for some aspect.
And vitamin B12 is essential for energy.
As I said, each vitamin, each mineral that we have identified as part of the human body, we've identified it and given it a purpose scientifically.
That the animals eat and the people eat vegetables, I believe that they're happy that they're changed because they're doing what they were made to do.
I was about to say it in different words, Brandy. Leads to is just awe in how complex and yet how simple the process is of all the different processes in the human body.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing.
I know.
Yes.
I just wanted to add a little bit to it, just maybe a little different take on it. But each vegetable, along with trees, nuts, seeds, berries, whatever, and the vegetables, they all have also another purpose besides nourishment. They also, before we partake of anything, it brings us to a blessing. So it helps us every day to sustain us and helps us to arrive, enable us to reach the occasion for which we are blessing God for. So in a way, they're a reminder constantly helping us to bless Hashem, you know, for everything we put in our mouth or drink, even, you know. So the vegetables play a great part in that, helping us to do a blessing.
Well said, Judy.
Well, basically, we're elevating that, or that spark, and that soul, and that living cell. I call it a soul. We're helping it elevate and consuming it in our bodies. And we also excel it as well, right? We take what we need and what's what's left over, the body that needs more, we release it.
That's correct. And it's not that it's necessarily what we don't need, but in the process of what we expel from the body, urination and defecation, in that process, we're creating fertilizer and we're returning to the earth what we don't use specifically at this point. And it will then be changed in the process of growing the vegetables and doing the whole, the way the environment works.
That's a full circle, basically.
Exactly. It is a full circle. And we hinted at this in our classes. There's a series of classes about eating that I remember doing from a particular booklet. It's on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, but I don't remember what title I gave it. But there's a series of classes about eating, and what it really teaches us and it hints to us is exactly what we're talking about here, that we take animals and vegetables and everything that we consume, we take that and change its spiritual nature, not really its essence of its spiritual nature, but the body of its spiritual nature. And we're changing that and utilizing that as part of its overall plan, an amazing system that Hashem has created.
Now, I think I kind of remember some teaching to that effect.
It's been a few years.
Yeah, how we release the soul of a living, how we release the soul that go back to in the wilderness where they, and the golden calf issue, where they release that soul that was into the cow, you know, that was trapped in there, and they released it through the spiritual system, Aaron, and how it released that soul.
Exactly. We released the soul of that particular cell. And that soul that we release then gets elevated back to its source.
Right. And it goes through the chain of process.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We will have three more classes today. The 11 o'clock class will be about the prophets. We're continuing our study of the book of Joshua. Deep Zohar at 4:30, and at 7 o'clock, we will study what the Ari has to say about Parashat.
Thank you.
I wish you all a beautiful day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you, Hanok.
Hello.